tomorrow between 4 and 5. So we'll say all of our goodbyes tonight, amen, and or this afternoon. But they're going to be going back to Kansas, so pray for their safety, and God will use them while they're there. That's good. Brother Lowry, we're glad that you're here, and looking forward to your message. Preach as long as you want, but at 3 o'clock we're leaving.
So, all right.
No, that's not true either. God bless you, brother.
Amen.
Is this on?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Believe it is. Well, you know what subliminal messages are, right? Now, this is not a subliminal message, but I was beginning to wonder about the subliminal messages that were being sent to me after lunch before church started. Because it's like everyone that came up to me began to tell me about stories about people falling asleep in church. And then the discussion went long about people falling asleep in church and what happens when people fall asleep in church. So I got the idea, and we'll try not to keep you long, all right? Luke in chapter number 5 this evening. Luke in chapter number 5 is where we're going to be this evening, this afternoon. It is evening in Croatia. We're six hours ahead of you, so it's 8:30 in the evening there. And I have not got a report per se on the day and how things went, but thank you again for praying for us. Thank you for your faithful prayers and for your support. We appreciate all of them. And I just want to say to you as a church family and pastor, man, what a blessing it's been today. Many of you have come up and said, you've asked questions about what happened with this, or tell me about that, and all of which indicates you've been reading our prayer letters, and Amen. That's a blessing, and we're thankful for that. All right, Luke in chapter number 5. If you have found your place, if you'll stand, we'll read this passage of Scripture and get right into the heart of the message this afternoon. Luke in chapter number 5. Yes, sir. So the Lord has borrowed Peter's ship in the first few verses, and he teaches from the ship. And then in verse number 4 it says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Verse 9, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Father, I pray today that you'd help us. Lord, may we be attentive this afternoon to the word of God, the bread of life. I pray, Father, that you would help us all with hearing grace, with speaking grace. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us, help us to learn and to grow, to be challenged and to be changed. Lord, through the direction of your word and your Holy Spirit, I pray that we might be sensitive to hear and be smart enough to obey as you speak. We ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I think you all know that, you know, our Lord didn't do anything by happenstance. He didn't do anything by chance. If we were to go over to Matthew chapter 4, we find another similar occasion where Jesus is speaking to, and what we would say, the calling out of the disciples to become his apostles in the beginning of the church. And so as he calls them out, he says in Matthew, come and follow me and I will make you to be fishers of men. Mm-hmm. And here in this chapter, we see in chapter number 5 that Jesus says, I'm going to make you to catch men. Now, it's interesting to me that while Jesus is saying this to these men, these are professional fishermen, yes or no? Yes. These guys knew how to fish. They They didn't need any fishing lessons when it came to fishing or catching fish. But as Jesus begins to perform this miracle, why the timing of this particular miracle? I believe that there's some great lessons that he wanted them to see to help prepare them for the transition that he had in their life, taking them from being fishers of fish to being fishers of men. And he uses this miracle to help teach these lessons to them. And as we look at some of the things that I think that we can learn from this particular passage and this miracle, this object lesson that Jesus, wasn't he good with giving object lessons? Amen. The woman at the well and the breaking of the bread and the five loaves and two fishes. And he used the physical thing so many times to teach a parallel spiritual truth. And Jesus is using this miracle that he performs with the catching of the draught. And these guys, again, Peter's like, "Now, Lord, you know, we fished all night and we've caught nothing." Well, then the Lord says, "Okay, but let down your nets. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for the draught." And you know what? It wasn't so much of a draught. I mean, it was double because it took two ships to gather all the fish. God is using this miracle to teach these men about this transition from the physical to the spiritual. And I think there's some great lessons for us about that will help us to be the fishers of men that God wants us to be, that he desires for us to be. Now, if you're born again this morning or this afternoon, I want you to say amen.
Amen.
I tell you what, it is not just the preacher's job or the missionary's job to be fishers of men.
Amen.
It's every born-again believer's job.
Amen.
And so I want us to look at this and think about some of the aspects of what Christ does here. Now, he's ministered with these Galilean fishermen for a year. And they were, with many others, they were his disciples. But as I mentioned before, they're going to now become his apostles. And he's calling them into this ministry, full-time ministry. They're going to leave their homes. They're going to leave their families. They're going to leave their fishing for a different kind of fishing, if you would. Everybody still with me? Shake your head or say amen. They're going to leave off fishing for a different kind of fishing. So right at the beginning, in the context of fishing, Jesus sets the priority. He sets the priority for them. He says to them, "Come, follow me." Now, I think that that's one of the things that we can learn about this particular example and what Jesus is doing, that we, as we're to be Christians, we're to be fishers of men, we're to make evangelism our primary objective. He says, "Come and follow me." You're going to have to leave your nets. As a matter of fact, we see here at the end, they didn't just leave their nets. They left their nets, their boats, their catch. They left everything, they forsook everything to come and follow him. You know what we need to do? We need more believers that will, in essence, forsake everything and put following Christ first. I'm not suggesting to you to go out tomorrow, quit your job, sell your house, and you know, that God has to be in one of those kind of things. But you understand what I'm saying this afternoon. In perspective, we need to make Christ our number one priority and make his responsibility that he's given to us a priority in our life. That responsibility is what? To be fishers of men. To be fishers of men. Yes, we're to worship. We're to pray. We're to teach. We enjoy the good fellowship and the good food. Yes or no?
Amen.
If you don't say amen, I might make you stand up for the rest of the message. We enjoy the good food and fellowship, right? Nothing wrong with that. We minister to the needs of other people. I like what you're doing here. We might take that and take it back home and steal the idea in Croatia if the Lord's in it. But we're to minister to other people and meet the needs of other people. But you know what the Christian's primary responsibility is? It's to evangelize the lost.
Yes.
It's to reach the lost. Why did Jesus come? He came and to seek and to save that which is what? Lost. If that's what Christ did and we're to follow his example, what do you think we're supposed to, what should be our primary responsibility? To seek and to save the lost. Luke chapter 19 mentions that, tells us where he came to seek and to save the lost. What about in Acts chapter number 1, Jesus told his disciples, he said, "You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, even to the ends of the earth." What was the purpose of God when he left, when Christ ascended up into heaven, he gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could what? So that we could better be the witnesses that he would have us to be. Witnesses to evangelize, to reach the lost. If we look at the Word of God, we see the priority of evangelism. Would you agree with that statement? If we look at the Word of God, we see the priority of evangelism. But I'm afraid in many of our churches today, we look at the church and we see the poverty of evangelism. In the New Testament, in the Word of God, we see the priority of evangelism. But in many churches in America today and around the world, we see the poverty of evangelism. I know that you probably heard the phrase before, but it's been said, the church that does not evangelize will fossilize. And that's very true. We're to be reproductive. We're to be fruitful. I mean, think about how many times in Scripture we're challenged to reproduce ourselves and to be fruitful, to bear the fruit of the Spirit, but also to bear witness and to of Him to others that others might have that same born-again experience that you and I get to enjoy. Understand something. Listen, this afternoon, a church is never going to drift toward evangelism. But a church can definitely drift away from evangelism. Yes. It's not going to by nature drift towards it, but it will by nature drift away from it. Many churches are really good at all kinds of programs and all kinds of this and that, and please don't take this the wrong way. I've enjoyed, we miss the music. We miss good congregational singing. You know, when you have 12 or 15 or 20, that's one of the things that you miss. You really miss a lot of voices, people lifting up the voices together. We miss that. But, you know, a lot of churches really have wonderful, they have wonderful music programs, great things for the children, great community events and activities. But where's the evangelism? Where's the evangelism? I know that that may not be the case with Bethel Baptist Church, but I want to just challenge you this afternoon. Listen, you need to make sure that you guard it, help the pastor, and again, we've not talked, I know nothing. He's in good health. But can I say this? He's not always going to be your pastor. And you may not always be a member of Bethel Baptist Church. God could move you. God could move him. God could graduate him onto heaven. Sooner or later, whether it be by death or by the upper taker or the undertaker, one way or another, we're all going, right? You understand what I'm saying? What I am telling you this is this. As a member of this church, you need to make sure that the priority of Bethel Baptist Church is evangelism and reaching the lost, both here and around the world. A wonderful missions program is great. It's wonderful. But missions starts across the street and around the corner. Some churches' idea of evangelism is simply sheep stealing, getting sheep in from some other church. You're not going to build a church that way. You won't keep a church that way. So make sure that you make evangelism and reaching the lost a priority. Jesus says, come and follow me. You've got to be willing to forsake those other things and put his priority to be your priority. The second thing that I think that we can see here is, one of the things that I love about the Word of God is that you got people in Scripture like Simon Peter. How many of us can identify with Simon Peter, right? How many of us have ever failed God miserably like Simon Peter? You know, I mean, it just helps us because we can kind of associate with where he's at. And here we are. Here he is again in our story. And I think that as we look at this biblical account, we learn a second thing from Simon. And notice how he words this. Jesus says, he gives him command, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answering said, and I'm going to read this a little bit dramatically, and I think you'll understand. Well, Master, we have toiled all night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Can we associate with that? You know, there's that hint of pessimism, a hint of doubt. Peter, like, well, Lord, now, you know, we're tired. We fished all night. Can I put it in some other words that maybe we associate more with without putting them on Peter? We've tried that before. Well, you know, it just doesn't seem like that passing out all those tracks and knocking on all those doors really makes much of a difference. We've tried that many times before, Lord, and it just doesn't seem to work. Jesus gives us the command, launch out into the deep and drop your nets. We just have a responsibility to be obedient and to keep going and keep fishing. Brother Leslie is a veteran missionary in Croatia. He's been there 23 years, and he gave me a great, great piece of advice before when we were still on deputation, before we ever got to the field. He said, Brother Lowry, having been here at that time, they'd been there over 15 years. He said, having been here over 15 years, let me just help you with this one word of advice. He said, just remember, we are in the warning business. God's in the winning business.
There you go.
You and I have a responsibility to sow the seed. It's up to God to give the increase.
Yes.
And He's promised that His word will not return void. So not only should we make evangelism our priority, but we need to make progress in our faith in God. Here's these professional fishermen. They've worked hard all night and they've caught nothing. And God is showing them, Christ is showing them, listen, without me, ye can do nothing. You see, they've done it by themselves. They did their own thing. They tried the best of their ability. They tried everything that they knew, and they came up empty. I want you to understand something, church. You and I, without Him, we're not going to do anything. Think about what the Scripture says in regard to soul winning. They that sow in tears shall what? Reap in joy. When's the last time you've sown in tears for someone to be saved? I'm preaching to myself right now as well. You understand? But we have the promises from God. We need to understand, but to make progress. We can't do anything without Him. And I love Simon Peter's faith here. You know, there's that little bit of doubt. His response, as I mentioned, you can kind of hear him like, look, Lord, we've tried all this and we've tried all night. Because you say so, nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the nets. And they caught so many fish that they couldn't handle them all. And they had to have helpers to come. But we just need our faith. It's kind of like, you know, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Or how about this one? O me of little faith. A lot of times we forget the promises of God. But you know, When we see what God did, that's the power of God behind evangelism. It requires people of faith. It requires us to be men and women of faith like Peter, that in spite of our own pessimism, in spite of our own doubts many times, listen, we're just going to keep on fishing. Christ, you said you want us to keep fishing. You don't want us to quit now. We can't go in. We can't call it a night. No, launch out into the deep and let down the nets. Okay, Lord, that's what we're going to do. You said to me, Pastor, you've been here, what was supposed to be 90 days has been how long?
14 years.
Just keep on fishing, preacher. Amen. Keep on fishing. Keep on. Amen. You say, but Brother Lowry, I have witnessed till I'm blue in the face to my neighbor and they've never come to church. Keep witnessing. Keep letting down the nets. Give them another gospel tract. How many of you like to go fishing?
Yeah.
You use the same bait every single time? When you go fishing, you ever try to change baits because the fish isn't biting on the minnow, so you try the worm and not biting on the worm, so you try the lure, not biting on the lure, so you try the plastic worm? Bingo! You say, what are you getting at, Brother Lowry? Hey, if they don't read that gospel tract, give them a different gospel tract. Just keep going. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. So just keep Let us be the people of faith that will do what? Simply be obedient to fulfill the commission that God's given to us. If we were to go over to the book of Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, we're been given the command. It's the Great Commission just put in different words. And it says we're to take the gospel to every creature. I like what one preacher said, every creature needs a preacher. We're to be that preacher. You're going to reach people that he will never reach. Right. You will be the preacher to reach someone that no one else in Bethel Baptist Church can reach. But you have a contact. You have an inside. God will use you if you'll simply be obedient. I don't necessarily agree with all of his doctrine or all of what he had to say, but some have called him American Spurgeon. His name was T. DeWitt Talmage. And this is what he said. He had admired an individual soul winners who go out with a hook and line. He said this, "I admire individual soul winners who go out with a hook and line and catch men for the Lord one at a time." But he said he also liked churches, God's boats, that hurl huge nets into the sea, expecting such a work from God that they expected the nets to break. You catch what he's saying? It's one thing to go out one person at a time, but what if the whole church, what if Bethel Baptist Church together said, you know what, we just believe that the Word of God works and evangelism still works in 2023, and evangelism still works in 2023 in La Plata, Maryland. We're going to trust God. We're just going to keep fishing and let God bring the results in. Amen. Everybody being obedient. So, some of the lessons that Christ wants his disciples to learn. He wants us to understand that we need to progress in our faith. But here's something else. Be willing to work. Be willing to work. This is just that practical thing. Again, these are rough, seasoned fishermen, professional fishermen. These boats were huge for the day. They have huge oars. They have the nets that they're tending. And the current and the moving of thousands of fish, you know what all that would require? It would require them to be strong. It would require them to be diligent. It would require them to be, don't you hate it when there's a word right there and it just leaves you? It's like a train. It'll come back through the station sooner or later. Don't quit. Durable. There you go. See, I told you to come back through the station. You have to be strong and be durable. These guys, I mean, can you imagine what their hands would have felt like from being these professional fishermen and they're putting those hands on those oars and bringing in they didn't have a winch. They didn't have a crane. They had to bring in those nets with their hands. They were willing to work. Winning people to Christ takes work. Now, you can agree by saying amen or raise your head or shake your hand, but soul winning or evangelism is hard psychologically. Yeah. It's hard psychologically. Because unless, unless you're really weird, okay? Unless you're really weird, it's hard to approach someone that you do not know, you have never met before, and say, do you know whether you're going to heaven or not? Can I tell you how that you can know that you can go to heaven and not go to hell? You weirdo. I mean, that's what people say. So hard, it's psychologically it's a battle, is it not? Yes or no? And what our flesh does not. Our flesh goes this way, but the Spirit says this is what you're supposed to do. It's hard work being fishers of men. It's hard psychologically. It's not in our nature. I'm intruding on someone else's space. When I go in, I knock on their door. They don't know me. I'm interrupting. I'm intruding in their space, in their privacy. It's hard psychologically. Well, I have my religion, you have yours. That's hard psychologically, isn't it? I don't want your Jesus. That's hard psychologically, isn't it? Because you know what? Satan wants us to buy into the fact or the idea that we are, not the fact, but the idea or the feeling that you're a loser. And this doesn't work.
Yes.
You see, whether we see it or not, we have a responsibility to be obedient and just what? Go launch out into the deep and let down our nets. Just keep working. Be willing to work. It's hard socially, isn't it? They don't want a visit from us. They don't want a word from us. They don't want to hear what we have to say. They don't want to go to our church, or they don't want to turn down the television. You ever gone to visit somebody and they never turn down the television? You say, oh yeah, come on in and visit. They're just watching the TV the whole time. It's like they're not even listening to you. It's hard socially. But more importantly, psychologically and socially, let's just be honest, it's hard spiritually, isn't it? To be the witness that we need to be. If you want to really know that there's a devil, then you have to give yourself to prayer about soul winning. You'll see the devil fight. People today, they don't want to believe in hell, but it doesn't make it any less real. Can God count on you to work for Him? Will you do all that is in your power to help the church in lowering its nets this year? Will you do everything that you can to help bring in the fish this year? Will you stand there? Will you put your hands to the rope and pull with the pastor and help him to bring in the nets? Will you come? Notice before this, they were mending the nets. Will you take the time to mend the nets in prayer? Will you take the time to help prepare what is necessary that Bethel Baptist Church might be able to see a haul of fish come in 2023? Be willing to work. And you know, your pastor can't do it all. Your missionaries can't do it all. Your teacher cannot do it all. And if everyone would just do what you can, it's not about you doing the same as what someone else does, but you doing what you can. Almost 100 years ago, a guy by the name of Arthur Flake, He wrote an article about the fundamentals of church growth. And there were some interesting ideas there, and some of these I've stolen from that article, and some are more original or more just they're from my own heart and mind. But, you know, a lot has changed over 100 years, and yet there's some things that haven't changed. And I'll kind of finish with these thoughts. You see, they didn't change the method to catch the fish. That's a good amen right there. They didn't change the methods to catch the fish. They used the same nets that they'd been using before. Just launch out in the deep, let down the nets. Now, I know that things are different today than they were 100 years ago. We have television, we have radio, we have social media, we have ways to evangelize, we have other, but that means we should be even doing more. But some things don't change. And the way or the method of changing or of catching fish doesn't have to change. But there's some things that are just the same that need to stay the same.
Amen.
And I won't even talk about, you know, getting into the version of the Bible and those kind of things. I know where your pastor stands, and that's where I stand and where the church stands. I'm not talking about that. You know, a church is an arbor, and to be a harbor for sinking ships. It's not a yacht club. There's a lot of churches around today that are more interested in being a yacht club than they are being a harbor for sinking ships. It doesn't matter who walks in the doors of this church. They ought to know that they're welcome in this church.
Amen.
They ought to know that they're welcome in this church because you go tell them, we're glad that you're here today. Do you have a place to sit? Would you like to sit with me, or you can sit here? When's the last time you invited someone to lunch? When's the last time you welcomed them? When's the last time you gave them a visitor card? When's the last time you made them feel welcome here? You see, when they come in, they need to know that they're loved and they're welcome. That's something that never changes. to let them see the love of Christ through you. Someone said that a church is to be the hospital. It's the hospital for the sick and dying souls. It's not a social club. It's not a social club. Now, I don't know if it happens here in La Plata, Maryland. I know when I pastored in Oklahoma and Missouri, this did not happen. I never once came to the church and found people knocking at the door just begging to get in. I never found that. It just never happened. So here's fundamental number two. Go find people. Go find people. Invite them. Bring them. Love them. Let them see the love of Christ. He said, come and follow me and I will make you to be fishers of men. It's interesting. It never clicked before a month or so ago. In one passage, he says, I will make you to be fishers of men. In the next, he says, and you will catch men. It's right here in Luke chapter 5. Look at the end of where we were reading in Luke in chapter number 5. And I believe it is in verse number 14, in verse number 10. Fear not, from hence thou shalt catch men. Well, let me just, I may not be the sharpest crayon in the box, but if I'm wrong, you help me out here, all right? You're not going to go catch men unless you go first. You're not going to catch them until you go. You can sit in your house all day long, you're not going to catch fish. Well, yeah, you can call Walmart and maybe they'll deliver it, but that doesn't work that way when it comes to souls, right? So just go find people. Give people something when they come. I'm not talking about giving them money or giving away bicycles or televisions. I'm talking about giving them a handshake, a warm welcome. If they're huggy people, give them a hug. Give them love. Give them grace. Grace. Give them time. Give them friendship. Give them fellowship. Don't give them judgment. Don't give them judgment. Don't give them grief. Don't give them heartache. Give them love and grace. Let Christ work through you. I want to ask you to stand with me this afternoon. And I want you just to listen to, I think I have the right passage here in my head. For sake of time, I'm not going to read it, but you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter, right? I won't say where and I won't say who. I won't mention the fellow's name. I was a pastor in Southwest Missouri, and I'd preached, not this message, we'd had missions conference, and I'd preached a message really similar to the timing we find ourselves in. We'd had missions conference. I preached a message about reaching the lost. And one of my deacons came to me after church was over and pretty much everyone else had left. And he said, Pastor, could I talk to you? And I said, well, sure. And so everybody kind of leaves. We made our way back into my office and we sat down. And I never will forget, he looked up at me and he said, Pastor, you know how in the missions conference we always talk about world evangelism? I said, yeah. He said, you know how you preached the message today about reaching the lost? And I said, yeah. And he just had his head down. I never will forget. He looked up at me and he said, I know that I should. And I want to. But I don't really care. And I thanked him for his honesty. I said, well, how can I help you? He said, I know that I should, and I want to, because I know that's what I should do. I don't know how to. He said, I just don't care about other people. Those were his exact words. I just don't care about other people. And so I just challenged him. I said, here's what you need to do. I almost said his name. I said, here's what you need to do. I said, just start praying. God, help me to love people the way that you do. Lord, would you help me to love people the way that you do? You know what? When we love people the way that he does, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, we'll start doing what he wants us to do. we'll start doing. We may not be great fishermen at first, but we should get started fishing. Make it your priority. Make progress in your faith. Say, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I know, you know, I've been pessimistic. I haven't really had the faith that I need to have to be the soul winner that I need to be. Confess those things to the Lord. And then you know what you do? Launch out into the deep. Let down the net again. If you stop fishing, start fishing again. I will make you to be fishers of men. Just ask God to help you to be the fisherman, fisherwoman, fisher boy, fisher girl that you need to be for Christ. Let's bow our heads this afternoon.